Once again, this is Jim Rao. It's great to be with you this morning. We're going to have a look at Psalm 91. If you have your Bible there, turn to Psalm 91, and we're going to talk about the calm in the storm. And, of course, we know from the events of the last few weeks, not just the economy, but the election, and some people were overjoyed with the results of the election. Some people were, I would say, maybe disappointed and not so overjoyed. Some people were elated. Some people were bitter. Some people are falling in this economy. Some people are losing their jobs. Some people are losing their houses. Some people are losing their incomes, their retirement incomes, their 401ks, their IRAs, and all this stuff. And so there's a great storm, not to mention in the physical realm, there's also natural disasters and things of that nature happening around us. Hurricanes have been increasingly more frequent the last 3 or 4 years. Ever since Katrina, it seems like we've been in the sights of hurricanes, more tornadoes, earthquakes. And so as we contemplate our place in the storm, we have to wonder, Lord, when is this storm going to abate? Is it going to abate? Or maybe it's going to get worse. And how are we going to survive it? How are we going to manage to keep our head up and keep going? How are we going to manage to forge on in view of all the adversity against us? And so we look to Psalm 91, and just as a reference, all of the Psalms are more or less words of comfort. Not all of them, but many of them are words of comfort that are given to us by the Lord. Many of them written by David, who certainly went through a great deal of storms. I'm not going to go through all of the points in his life where he was battered by storms, but it's sufficient to say that David went through a great deal of storms in his life. He was a warrior king. He was a man after God's own heart, and yet he also, because of his sin and because of his, you might say, recklessness in regards to another man's wife, he ended up paying a great price for it and brought storms upon himself that took him to his knees and caused the loss of his child, caused the loss of his family, caused great grief to him to be brought into his family. And so as these Psalms are read, they can be very comforting. They can comfort us in the storms. And there's, you know, a season in our life, I think, for each of us when we go through storms. There's a season in our life when we have personal storms that maybe the other people in the community or the other people in the country aren't facing. And that can come from divorce or loss of relationships, the broken relationships, maybe a death in our own family, and loss of a job, those kinds of personal things. But also we can go through storms that are brought on to a people corporately, as in a nation or a city that maybe, for instance, New Orleans or Greensburg, Kansas, suffered great tragedy and great loss due to physical storms. And yet we come out of it, and we keep our head high, and we keep looking to the Lord to give us direction. We keep looking to the Lord to give us strength. And I think that's the message here in the Psalms as we look at 91, is that in the days ahead, brothers and sisters, we're going to be encountering great struggles. The Lord has just been speaking to me, as you know, in the messages that I've given in the last 2 or 3 months. The Lord has been speaking to me about America is going to be going through a time of tribulation or a time of trial, and I did a lot of fasting leading up to this election recently, and I just wanted to hear the voice of the Lord as I went in, not just to vote, but just, you know, for this season, for this time in America. I wanted to know, Lord, what do you have to say to us? How can you comfort us, or how can you instruct us? How can you teach us at this time when so many are going through trials and tribulations? And the Lord just kept saying to me over and over, cry out for mercy, that it is a time for America to be judged. It is a time for America to be brought into alignment with God's word and for God's plan for this nation. And it's not specifically because of one person or one political party or one leader of a party. It's because America over the years has drifted away from God's plan for this great nation. It's drifted away into areas of sexual immorality and just a moral decay that now we're starting to reap the harvest, as always we do, and as all people do, not just this nation, but any nation, we start to reap the harvest of the seeds that we've sown over the last many years. And so we're in for a great trial and tribulation, and I don't want to scare you. That's not my point. It's not to be scared. The point is to be prepared and also to find, even in this storm, that God has a calm for us. God has a place for us in this storm where we can take refuge and we will be safe in the shadow of his wings. And so as we look at Psalm 91, I'm going to just read parts of it and just make comments as we go, and just be comforted by this psalm as much as anything else. Just be comforted, not so much the teaching on it. Just be comforted by the words themselves, and be comforted in knowing that God has everything in control. It may not look like it at times. It may not look like it at times. There may be times when we wonder, God, what in the world is going on? What is happening here? But rest assured, God knows what is happening. He's not being taken surprised by any of it. Even though we may at times be taken by surprise, God is not. Okay, in verse 1, Psalm 91, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions or his wings, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. And so God tells us right there that in the shadow of him, in his shadow, and you got to get close to him. You have to stand close to him, brothers and sisters, to get into his shadow. You can't be, miles and miles away from him to be in his shadow, just as any person casts a shadow when the sun is shining on them. So too, when the light comes from God, it casts a shadow, and you have to be close to him to be in that shadow. If you're way far away, you're not going to feel the presence of the Lord. You're not going to feel the comfort that he wants you to know, that he wants you to have. And so you must dwell in the shelter of the Most High. And God is going to deliver you, brothers and sisters. It says he is your refuge and your fortress. In verse 3, it says he will deliver you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. And I hope and pray that we don't have deadly pestilence here. I hope we do not have plagues and illnesses that go through this nation. And I just pray, Lord God, that you not send those here as part of the tribulation and as part of the judgment that is coming on America. But if it does, brothers and sisters, I know that the children who stand in the shadow of the Almighty, of children who stand close to God and stand in his righteousness, will be spared to a large degree these pestilence, and will be spared because God is faithful and true to his promise, and you will not fall into the snare of the trapper. Many times Satan is out there trying to set snares for us, not only for us but for our families, and Satan is trying to trap us with deceit, with lies, and God is saying, I will deliver you from these lies. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 is the gift of discernment. And so it's very important that we discern the people that come in and out of our life. It's very important that we discern what their motives are, and are they righteous people, and what is the motivation behind them, whether it's asking for money or asking for favors or maybe just wanting to come alongside of us for one reason or another. And so we must discern, especially in times when people are in transition and maybe moving in and out of our community, or maybe people that you haven't seen their fruits, you haven't had the opportunity to be around them to see their fruits. It's very important that you're able to discern who is a man of God and who isn't. And of course, we know out of great tribulation, out of the great tribulation, will come an Antichrist. We know about this by reading the book of Revelation, who will eventually deceive the whole world. And this Antichrist will put a mark on people, the mark of the beast. And without that mark, people will not be able to participate in the economy. Without that mark, people will be declared enemies of the state, enemies of the government. And so it's very important that we have this gift of discernment to be able to tell who our friends are, and who our brothers and sisters in Christ are, and who we have fellowship with. here in the body of Christ. And it says here in verse 4 that he will cover you. God will cover you with his wings, with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. I remember a time when I was hiking up in the mountains of the Sierra Nevadas, and this was in midsummer when it was very nice weather, and yet you could expect storms at any time at the elevation that we were at, and they were violent storms many times, lots of lightning, lots of thunder, rainfall that came up quickly, you know, and winds that came up quickly. And we got caught in a storm up there, and I don't know what the elevation was. It might have been, you know, 11, 12,000 feet, something like that. But the storm came up quickly, and we sought refuge. There was a couple of us that had backpacks, and we'd been up hiking for a day or two up in there, and we sought refuge under this overhanging rock cliff. And the hail came down, and the rain came down, extremely violent storm for, you know, 30 minutes or an hour. The rain and the hail came down, and the winds blew, and yet we were safe. We were safe under the shelter of that cliff. And so that is what God wants to do for you. He will cover you with his wings. He will cover you as you seek refuge there, and his faithfulness will be a shield and a bulwark. In other words, his faithfulness, his belief in us, his encouragement to us, his faithfulness, that he is faithful and true. In other words, even when our faith wavers, and many times in life, brothers and sisters, you know that we wonder, is God really there? Is God really there? Can we really trust him? Can we really believe? Can we pick up his word, God's holy word, and read it and really truly believe the words that are there are meant for us, for our life? And yet I say, yes, we can, because I've been through many trials myself, and I'm sure many of you have too. When God proved himself to be faithful and true, when he proved himself to show up for us, to give us that comfort, maybe to rescue us from the snare of the trapper, maybe to deliver us from some financial failure, some financial fall, or deliver us from something that we deserved, that was, you know, just by his mercy and by his faithfulness that he allowed us to keep going and kept us strong. And so we know that God is faithful and true. Verse 5, you will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noon. And so you will not have to fear. I'm just speaking now. You will not have to fear. And there's nothing worse, brothers and sisters, than walking in fear all the time. And I just say to you today, you have nothing to fear. I say to you today, I declare to you today, that those of you who walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, that you have nothing to fear, because God is with you. He tells us in Psalm 23 that the Lord is our shepherd, that we shall not want, that he maketh us lie down in green pastures, he restoreth our soul, he leadeth beside still waters for his name's sake. And we just thank you, Lord, that our cup runneth over. We thank you that you're preparing a table for us in the presence of our enemies, and we have nothing to fear. And so, you know, Paul said in Philippians 4, he said, fear not. He said, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in all things, through prayer and thanksgiving, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto the Lord. And so we just thank you, Jesus, that because we know you, because we can walk with you, we need not fear. We need not be anxious. And your word tells us, be anxious for nothing. And you know, the opposite of fear is faith. The opposite of fear is faith. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And so we cannot always see what our answer is. We cannot always see what our provision is. We cannot always see what God has in store for us that is just out of our sight. And yet God asks us to trust him, and he asks us to move on into that next plateau, maybe to walk into that next realm of trusting him, even though we don't know where the provision is coming from, even though we don't know how God is going to provide for us. But we just ask God to show us the way, and we just ask God to strengthen us so we can walk into that new direction. And when we do that, when we show God that we trust Him, then that builds our faith. When we show God that we can reach out and not be afraid, that we can trust Him, that He's going to take care of us, then that shows our faith. That reveals to us our faith. And God will always put a greater challenge in front of you, brothers and sisters. God will always put a greater challenge in front of you. And that's what this tribulation is all about, is God is saying, I'm going to challenge you, Americans, because you're so comfortable. I'm going to challenge you because you think you have everything that you need. You think you have everything organized according to your needs, and it's all being provided by your own arm, your own flesh, your own strength, your own money that you've acquired. And God says, I'm going to take that idol away from you. I'm going to take that idol of mammon away from you, and you're going to have to depend just on me and not on your own ability to provide your mammon and not on your own ability to provide the things that you need. And so we must trust Him. We must trust Him. And yet God says, fear not. He says, I won't let the arrow come towards you. I won't let the pestilence stalk you, and I won't let destruction that comes toward you. And then He says a very comforting thing. He says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. And you're going to see many fall as we look around. You're going to see businesses fall. You're going to see individuals fall. You're going to see families fall, and maybe not necessarily to death. That's not what I'm referring to, but maybe just fall away and fall into sickness or fall into doubt, maybe fall away from their faith, maybe start questioning God and questioning, are you really there, God, to allow these things to happen? And no matter what happens, God says, yes, I'm here. No matter what happens, God says, I will be there for you. And in verse 10, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. And then God says He's going to give His angels charge concerning you. He will let His angels watch over you. He will let His angels direct you, guide you, give you strength, comfort you. He says in verse 11, He will give His angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And we just thank You, Lord, that You have sent Your ministering angels at not only the answer to our prayers, but also even before we pray. You say, even before we pray, You know what our needs are. And so many times You send Your angels out even before we pray to ask for the things that You already know that we need. And we just thank You for that, Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Well, I'm going to close today, and we're going to visit this theme for the next couple of weeks, and just to prepare ourselves for the storms to come. And we're going to figure out and find out ways to get in the calm, to get in that eye of the storm where the calm is, for where God will protect us and keep us. And we're going to continue on this theme, but I'm going to close today with a quote from Jesus Himself in Matthew 11:28. And we look to Jesus, the source of our redemption, the source of our salvation, the source of our peace. And we look to Jesus, God's only Son, for His comfort, for His words. And this is what He said in Matthew 11:28. He says, come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. And so Jesus, God's only Son, said, if you come to Me, I'll make your burden light. If you come to Me, you'll find rest for your weary soul. And so at this time when people are struggling to find rest, when people are struggling to find peace in what they see in the world, Jesus said, come unto Me and I will give it to you, because I am peace. I am the Prince of Peace, and I can give it unto you. Well, thank you for listening today. We're going to continue on this theme next week, finding calm in the storm. God bless you. We'll see you next week.